Now, we are going to have a chat with Luke Jolliffe from Stella Bella Wines. Good morning to you, Luke.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for getting up. It's a couple of hours earlier for you over there. What's that, about quarter to nine sort of thing?
Mm. Yeah, that's all right. I've been up for a while. It's one of those things in the wine industry these days. You can't sleep in anymore after a few years of doing it.
Yeah, right. and how you'd have most things in, well, everything's in the shed and most things are sort of coming through from Vintage 24. How's it all looking for you?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, yeah, very much sort of at the starting to get a lot of reds through Malo and look at sulfuring them up and putting them to sleep for a period of time with all the Cabernet. And but yeah, it was a really incredible vintage and totally different really to anything I've seen in my 17 vintages in Margaret River, which was exciting. And I guess it's always, they say, you know, the vintage that you're in is always like a bit unique in its own way. And this one was very much like that with really hot conditions. And, we started 3 weeks earlier than normal. Our viticulturist was on holidays skiing in Japan while we were picking the first Chardonnay.
Oh, dear.
That's, yes, right. Well planned.
Not exactly great.
But yeah, you can't blame him. It was 3 weeks earlier than we've ever started in the history of Stella Bella, and he reckons he was testing out some brand new ski goggles, which he's going to bring back and use for PPE in the vineyard.
Yeah, right. Exactly. spray time. Yeah, exactly. I love this brand, and I love your other label, which is Suck Fizzle.
Yep.
Can you just remind us how that name came about?
Yeah, sure. So, when Suck Fizzle is a single vineyard wine, which is, down in the south in Augusta, the most southern vineyard in the Margaret River region, and makes really unique wines. And I guess, the founders were sort of looking at, making a wine that was serious but didn't take itself too seriously. And, obviously Margaret River was starting to become established with, the mid to late 1960s planting, so a few 20 to 30-year-old vineyards and, a lot of plantings going on. And they were reading a book by Francois Rabelais, which, talks about two giants. So they're like great lords and they're huge and they're roaming the countryside and solving people's problems with the use of wine and conversation. And one of the great lords' name was Great Lord Suckfizzle. The other one was Great Lord Kiss My Ass, and they went with Suckfizzle as the name.
I'm glad you went with Suckfizzle. Marketing genius.
Has anyone captured them pictorially for you to use in your marketing and around Celador or something?
Yeah, we try to. I mean, the original label was very sort of Monty Python-esque. And,
Yeah,
so there's definitely some of, these big great lords, this big foot coming out of the clouds and things like that. But it's a really unique name for a really unique wine, which is, it really sort of fits, I guess, at the end of the day.
Mm. But it's almost a juxtaposition in the fact that, you've got this sort of, lighthearted name, and then it's a single vineyard wine that, is probably, the thing that you spend a lot of time thinking and dreaming about. I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's really fantastic. Mm.
Yeah. You've won some awards for your wines. Well done. Tell us about some of the recent ones that you've sort of, most proud of, I guess.
Yeah, I guess last year was really fantastic. We won quite a few trophies for the Luminosa Chardonnay. So that's our single vineyard Chardonnay in the Wallcliffe sub-region of Margaret River. So that one, I think, best Chardonnay, best white wine at Royal Queensland and also at Royal Adelaide. Then the Suck Fizzle Chardonnay, our other single vineyard wine, the 22 vintage of that one, Margaret River. The Luminosa Cabernet won best Cabernet, best red wine at Wine Show of WA. So there's been a few awards that came through last year. I guess, one of the things I think about with wine shows, they're not you know, while you're very proud and the recognition is fantastic, I think what it means is you've got a wine that's unique and different. And that's probably the thing that I love about the most, is like it's a wine that stands out in the crowd. You know, Australian Chardonnay at the moment is fantastic, and you know, there would have been numerous different wines within, you know, those competitions that, you know, have the quality to achieve, you know, the top Chardonnay or top white wine or what have you. But you know, that repetition and the consistency of it just shows for that vintage, you know, you did all you could, and the wine stands out in a crowd, and the style of wine that you're making is something that is, you know, something special, which is kind of probably the best part about it, I think.
Yeah, it's just that third party endorsement from, you know, a group of your peers, whether they be, you know, obviously the wine judges, whether they be winemakers or people from the trade or educators.
Yeah,
because I always, even though I was chair at the committee of Melbourne Royal for a number of years, my question was, okay, what difference do we make to the consumer? Like, if something gets awarded a trophy or whatever, what, you know, what does it mean to them? And bringing it back to being relevant. But sure, as you said, it shows that the wine is standing out in those classes. And, you know, that is such a hotly contested category for, you know, Chardonnay, especially Margaret River. Like, some of the wines being made are just outstanding and world-class. So, well done.
Thank you very much.
So obviously these awards put pressure on wines because quite a few of them have sold out. How do people keep in touch with what you're doing and when new vintages are selling? And because I noticed that you're taking expressions of interest for the is it the 23 Suckfizzle Chardonnay?
And the Luminoso. So we just tell them to sort of get in touch through website, you know, stellabella.com.au and register their interest through there, because, you know, we are an agricultural industry, and the crop levels certainly do vary, especially with ginger clone Chardonnay, which doesn't set very well. So, you know, if you get a bad setting year, you're going to be down 10-20% on volume, and that's probably one of the things about single vineyard wines as well. You don't have necessarily the ability to add a lot of volume to it, because it's whatever you've got in the ground.
The beauty and the accountant's nightmare.
Correct.
So what happens now, given you guys are a little more advanced than say, South Australia and Victoria, from a winery calendar point of view, you'll go into pruning and things soon, I guess, and then what happens for you guys? Do you get a break?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually. This year being a lot earlier than normal, like we've actually been really focused on trying to keep the leaves on the vines and not go into dormancy too early, because it's pretty, you know, it's maritime with cool breezes off the ocean in Margs, and, you know, Chardonnay dormancy especially is something that is quite important. You don't want them shooting too early, because then you get all, you know, potentially hailstorms and things like that, you know, coming into spring. So in the vineyard, we've been doing that. We've actually planted quite a lot of new vineyard over the last sort of 3 to 5 years, sort of new clones of Chardonnay, so clone 95, more gin, and also going to some clonal diversity in Cabernet and Shiraz. So that's something that, you know, we're sort of putting a lot of time into those vineyards, looking at a lot of soil amelioration. You know, the guys in the vineyards are out, you know, we've got this tea brewing that they're doing at the moment from the compost in the vineyard, trying to, you know, get more earthworms. Really good. So it's very much sort of looking at the to-do lists and those aspirational things and getting into it and start pruning in about June-ish.
And does Luke get out there and prune?
Not very much these days. I like to. That used to be my pastime, but probably not as much these days. I think I'm very much in there in the winery or out trying to sell wine. There's no point just making it these days. You've got to get out there and get it around.
Yeah, and everyone wants to speak to the main person, so, which is you.
Yes, it's one of the things that you've got to do, and it's fun too.
Yeah.
I was going to ask also about, so we've covered Stellabella and Suckfizzle as two of the brands, and Luminosa.
That's right.
You've got a couple of others. Maybe can you just explain the range? So, pardon me, everyone can connect them all back to you, I guess, when they see them on a wine list or at a bottle shop. So what about Scuttlebutt?
Yeah, Scuttlebutt was one of the, you know, that started in 2003, so it's been a big part of, you know, Stella Bella and associated brands for a long time. And so it's our entry-level SBS. It's a Cab Shiraz or Shiraz Cab blend, depending on the year, and a rosé. So that's very much, you know, what we're doing to be fresh and bright and crunchy and sort of everyday drinking, and not, you know, at the same sort of price points. And then Otro Vino is a newer label that started in 2017 with an unfined, unfiltered Chardonnay. Still really cellar bright and very sort of, I guess, more mineral and not as much new oak in it. And that's sort of developed now to have a lot of alternate varietals in it. So Tempranillo, Sangiovese and those sorts of things. So, yeah, a few brands, but, you know, all from our own plantings. And I think that's the great thing for us is that, you know, all of these different varietals are in our own vineyards, which we've got five that we're looking after spread through the Margaret River, the south of Margaret River.
Mm. Sam, while you're thinking of your question, which I can see you are, but the one that caught my eye from the Otro Vino range, it's Otro Vino Casbah.
Yes.
Sauv Blanc, but not as we know it, is how you sell it. So tell us what's the bit we don't know, or, you know, what's the intriguing bit?
Yeah, I guess with this one, we sort of make it more like a red. So 100% hand-picked from our Carradale vineyard right at the winery and gets destemmed and then tipped into the top of a red fermenter and fermented on skins wild to get, I guess, a bit more texture and phenolic and I guess more of those crunchier and I guess some pyrazines, but also you get a lot of these sort of musk and you know, different sort of aromas from the skin. So we probably ferment it on skins for about 10 to 12 days and then press it out, put it to barrel, and we just stir the bejesus out of it. So, you know, stirring it three times a week. Yeah, that's right. Stir it like every day post-primary ferment, and then after that it's, you know, three times a week until we sulfur it up in about September-ish and put it to bottle again, so unfined, unfiltered, and it's usually slightly cloudy, but, you know, to be, you know, a bit more of a textural, phenolic-driven wine with, you know, different Sauvignon Blanc aromas through it.
And what is the best food match for Casbah?
Good question. It's probably, you know, more with your cheeses and things like that, I find is the best way to go. You know, it's more sort of, you know, having a fresh, bright glass and you know, a little bit of, you know, cheese, pickles, olives, those sorts of things. I think Rink works really well.
Yeah. It sounds like such a fun wine. And $28, there's a lot going on into a bottle for $28. well, look, everyone needs to go and check out stellabella.com.au and get on the mailing list, I think, because there's so much fun coming out of your joint, and get onto things early by the sounds of it.
Even better, I think we should go there.
Yes.
You jump on the flight, head across.
I know.
Hey, there's just a sideline, you've got one of our expats, a mate of ours, Tim Shand, over your way these days. Have you run into him much?
I sure have, yeah. We catch up pretty regularly. He's a nice new member of the Margaret River Wine community.
How's he fitting in?
Been great, yeah. It's always sort of saying to some people the other day, it's refreshing having, you know, people with differing experiences coming to the region because, you know, that sharing of knowledge and ideas is a really big part of it where, you know, we share ideas, you know, we do tastings together and talk about, you know, what we like in different wines, and we all have different perceptions, and that's one of the great things of wine, right? Like just talking about it with other people and sharing conversation and knowledge and enjoyment.
Yeah, we definitely miss him in the Yarra Valley, so please take care of him. Send him home a little bit. Well, his home is WA, but send him over frequently and we'll all be fine.
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
And we look forward to you coming over and showing us some of your wines. Is there anything on the horizon in that respect that you can think of?
Yeah, I think I'll be coming over in around September, we release the single vineyard Chardonnay. So I'll be coming over to do a release of those for sure. But perhaps in between, and hopefully, I think I'm coming over for Royal Melbourne Wine Show again with Mel and the right. team over there judging yeah, again. Yeah. So that'll be really good.
Well, say hi when you're over, hey, and we'll keep an eye on what you're doing. And yeah, well done. It's always great chatting to you, Luke. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Nice to chat.
Enjoy your afternoon.